Which year did you attend up there?
33-34.
And how many were in your class?
Ooh. I imagine there could have been 20, 24. Mm-hmm. We were divided alphabetically in classes, mm-hmm. Except there were no mixed classes. So there, A, B, and C, say, were in one room, you see, one class. And so we went through the alphabet.
Oh, I see. And, how many altogether in a whole year?
It's a difficult question, too. I just never thought about these things, you know. How many classes were there? There must have been 120 or so, anyway. But I wouldn't be positive about that. And here I sit with this thing, and I don't know, you know, really how many people are involved there.
Dr. Denton was the principal when you were there. Can
right,
you tell
yes.
me something about him?
Well, let me see now. He was a very, he was a nice person. We had a sort of, in those days, your teachers and your principals especially were in an elevated position, you know. There wasn't the easy attitude between staff and students probably that there is now, but they were all very helpful. But we had how can I explain Dr. Denton anyway? He was a very interesting person because he didn't have a too professional manner about him. He was the big boss, but and he had written some textbooks, I think, too, at that point. But he was separate from the others, you know, in our mind. And yet he was quite, if there was a dance going on and somebody wanted it to carry on for another hour or half hour or whatever, he was usually quite willing to go along with that. We were learning to be teachers, and so, you know, we were supposed to take a lot of these responsibilities on ourselves. How would you cope with it? So perhaps that affected his attitude with us, too. But we didn't, I wouldn't say I knew him that well, really. There were some of them that we had more contacts with because they came out when we were practice teaching. I think he did occasionally. I don't remember him ever coming in when I was doing a lesson, but those who did come out were the ones that we sort of accounted to afterwards for, go to them for help and criticism and so forth. I think that would probably sum it up. We had that respect, but he surprised us, mm-hmm. you know, with his attitude, really. Let me put it this way. We had come from, some of us from Victoria College, where the principal was P.H. Eliot, and before that from Victoria High School from Ira Dilworth, who were way up there. So, you know, this was something new to us. Right.
Being very human at times.
Yes, yes. And, you know, in a bigger situation such as Victoria High School, where there were 1,000 students, you didn't have much contact with the principal. You know, he spoke to us as a group, and that was about it, unless you got in trouble.
Did Dr. Denton teach at all? Did he have special classes?
Yes, he did teach some subjects. What was he teaching that year? Geography, I think, was one of his. Yes, he did teach some. I don't suppose that principals in those days mostly did teach, too. There was no, you know, the administration wasn't as big a thing as it is now.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about the gardens. They always been so well kept.
They were always well kept. It was wilder at the back, of course, sort of tapered off into, what is the street at the back there, where the huts face on Argyle. There may have been houses down on Argyle. I don't remember that there were. So we're talking about quite a long time ago. And there was grass, you know, grassy areas out there too. And there were more flower beds in the grounds. I think the first picture in the book there shows that too. There, I don't think they bother as much with the flower beds now.
Earlier on in the 1920s, a lot of the classes had their own little garden plots to take care of. Was that still in effect when you were there?
Don't remember that. It wasn't a bad idea, seeing you were going out into the country, though. No, I don't know, that wasn't the case. In fact, I can remember playing softball right out at the front of the building, in the grounds there. We used the grounds a lot. And, of course, there were the two model school classes who also used the outside.
Did you get a chance to teach in the model schools, or did you just observe?
We observed, yes. No, I didn't teach there until I was substitute teaching. Spent a while with Miss James 1 year, but they were for observing mainly. There was a, at the end of the room, there was a raised platform and chairs where we were allowed to sit.
How many children were in the class?
They were small classes. They may have been 20. I can't... Oh, good grief.
There were a lot of sports going on up at the college when you were there.
Yes, well, we were supposed to learn to play everything, mm-hmm. because you might have to teach it. So, yes, there was a lot going on. I think perhaps swimming was a bigger thing then than it is now, too.
Where did you go for your swimming?
Crystal Gardens, yes. That's the only pool in Victoria apart from the YM. And, yes, it was... we had to learn the rules of all these sports, too, you know, basketball, hockey, badminton, everything, just in case you might have to do it sometime.
There were school teams formed out of this, too, weren't there?
Mainly games... Or team games at that time might have been there.
Was thinking grass hockey and yes.
Well, there were amongst the high schools, of course, but we weren't in any what you might call a league because we didn't fit the categories. You know, we weren't high school, and of course, Victoria College was a pretty small institution at that time too. So games were just a friendly game. There was no big league thing going on. And they did have, and I don't think they were covered over at that time, they'd had two plunge pools mm-hmm. in the building at one time. You knew about those. And so I don't know how much they were used. They certainly...
Did you use them, Tom?
No. No.
Not after gym class.
Now, maybe, I'm not sure whether the boys did or not. You see, we were very segregated. We had separate ends of the building for locker rooms, etc. So I really don't know whether the boys used that after gym or not. They could have. I don't know.
Were the separate entrances still used?
Yes.
There?
Yes. Now that's the way it was done. It was quite interesting when we went back to the old building, talking and going down to the ends of the building that we'd never been in. You know, going down the stairway, and somebody said, "Oh, I never went down this way before." And somebody said, "No, of course you didn't. That went to the boys' locker room. You weren't allowed." That seems strange now.
Did you find there was lots of room in that building with only, you know, maybe 150 pupils?
Oh, yes. Yes, there it was. The auditorium was beautiful. It's well, you can still see it, can't you? It was a lovely facility, that one. But there was upstairs too, where the home ec classes were taught. There was a suite, which was used for teaching purposes too. You know.
Were you in there?
Oh yes.
Could you tell me about it?
Well, there was usual living room, dining room, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom, you know, just as in an ordinary home. And the odd time, the home ec class would serve a meal to the staff up there. And it was quite nicely furnished, really.
Did you learn anything other than cooking, since there was the whole apartment there?
We sewed, and we had quite a bit of teaching on nutrition, of course. We weren't going to be expected to teach home ec, not at the level we were, but I think the thing was that in the community you might go into, you would be helpful. And, you know, little did some of us know how hard up some of the communities would be that we would go into. And some of the things we had taken for granted foods-wise at home, just they weren't available at all. But it was a nice setup there. Very nice. And a very kindly lady. She was elderly then, Miss Isbister. But she was a very good teacher, very nice manner.
What were some of the things you were taught in home ec, in cooking?
Mm-hmm. It was pretty basic, really. Basic for those days. Now, we were taught to bake bread, you know, and to do preserves. And, well, you know, basic sauces, meats, puddings, you know. Cooking was different then, too, really. Because there wasn't that, there wasn't much available in packages, you know. From scratch. I guess we did cook from scratch. But, most of us had had that through, well, not in high school, but elementary level, grade 7 and 8, we had had some of that. And of course, we did sewing.
Where did you do the sewing? Was that in the same room? Or in
no,
the room
no, it was in another classroom up on that floor.
Was it in the room beside the cooking room? There was one in the original
yes,
plan, there was
yes,
a skylight in the
yes,
hotel.
Right, yes, that would be it. It was, I don't know how many times, say, in the course of a week we had cooking or sewing classes. It may have only been once. I don't think it was a very, it didn't seem a very heavy load, if you know what I mean. We were more into the classroom situation, preparing lessons, teaching, and so forth.
What did you learn in the sewing?
Well, we had to make, I'm just trying to think how many outfits we probably did make. I think we only, I don't recollect making anything beyond a dress, a cloth embroidered and hemmed with serviettes to match. I don't think it ever wore out because it was linen. I think the dress was also at that time. And, I think we got quite carried away, some of us, when we got to the dresses and made, I had a trim on the dress that I made a hat to match the dress, and I even got carried away to the point of making gloves. So I think some of them made graduation dresses, but I'm not too sure about that. We were expected to wear a long dress to the dances. And you were sort of expected to have two long dresses, one for the winter dances and one for the spring and summer. But most of us didn't have the funds to have a lot of clothes. So we didn't have many changes of clothes. But when you were teaching, you were marked for your appearance. That was a very important part of it. Your you know, how things were coordinated and so forth was very carefully checked.
Did you have one or two of the instructors come out to check you?
I think it varied. I think it was most often one, and you didn't know when they were going to appear. You might be lucky and maybe nobody would appear until your lesson was over. We went out in twos, practice teaching, so.
Where did you go for yours?
I was all over the place, really. When we did our longest stretch, which was supposed to be in a more typical country school, I was out at Strawberry Vale. And that was a very long bus ride in those days. And it was, I think, probably a two-room school. I don't imagine there's... I think maybe they did save one of those buildings that the preschool or playgroup, as they called it at that time, or later, went into. But I'm pretty sure it was a two-room country school. And I loved it. It was really nice out there.
How many students did you have?
The classes in the country schools were quite big. They could go up to 30, 36. So, and you see you had several grades, because elementary school at that point went to grade 8, included grade 8. So you might have four grades in one room. In some of the country schools, you might have all 8, but that was really hard. You try to plan a timetable, you know, to cover all the territory for 8 grades with 30-odd children. Or perhaps you wouldn't have 30-odd because some of they only had to have 10 to keep a school open. But you could still have quite a few different levels in your 10 amongst the 10 children.
How soon after you started at the normal school were you expected to go out on your first practice teaching?
It was quite early. I think it was I can remember being at Spring Ridge School around Halloween. So it was quite early. And I can always remember the reading lesson was Three Billy Goats Gruff, because my younger sister had been reading it in school too and was having an awfully bad time with it. And it just seems sort of irony that I would get that for my first assignment. But there was a lovely person with the grade one at Spring Ridge, and Miss Tuck, Isla Tuck, and they were an older Victoria. Mind you, in those days, most of the teachers looked nearly 60, 65. They did. And she may have been near retirement, I really don't know, but she was so kind to the student teachers. Everybody wanted to go teach for her. It gave you a real nice start, a nice warm feeling about the whole thing, you know. I don't know if she did it out of kindness, but she marked us very well. And we enjoyed being there. But we were all over Victoria, I suppose.
You mentioned the dances earlier on. How many dances a year did you have, do you remember?
You know, there could have been one. There was certainly one in October, and I don't imagine the next one came till December. There were probably only 4. There may have been more. Don't really. Graduation was no big formal thing. It was picnic out to Elk Lake and to the dance at McMorrin's in the evening. You know, that was it. There was nothing. You know, I guess we were graduating, but we weren't really sure where we were going.
Did you receive help from the normal school in getting a position, if there was one available?
Not really. You were pretty well on your own in applying. And I imagine... no, I wouldn't say we received any help there. You just scanned the newspapers, bought the Vancouver papers, and applied for everything in sight, and wasted an awful lot of postage. Some of them you never heard from. But,
jobs were difficult then, you said.
Yes, they were. They were very. Your best hope of getting a position was knowing someone on a school board where there was a vacancy, or having a friend who was... The women in those days, when they got married, they quit teaching. So you had quite a good hope of... if you had a friend getting married, you might follow on to that position. That's about the way it worked. Once you were into the system, it was a lot better because you had a good chance of getting moved around in the district. If there were vacancies and you had the experience, you probably go to a little higher level, you know. Like the Matsquesumas Abbotsford area was covered quite a large area, and there were one-room schools, but there were also two right up to the larger ones in Abbotsford, and you could sort of move through that, which is, you know. But then a lot of the women didn't. They stayed in the country and married somebody there. That's how we caught up with a lot of our members when we tried to get our reunion together.
Did you find in your class, your graduating class, were there an even number of men to women?
Oh, no. I think the proportion was quite low. If I'm going to put the annual down, but I think you would find that the get into the men's class, there are about 35 men.
And the rest were women?
Yes, yes. But then teaching was heavy that way anyway at that time. Maybe it still is, I don't know.
It seems to be in the primary grades.
Yes. Well, it could be.
Was there a tennis up at the school when you were there?
No, I don't remember tennis courts. I really don't, because I did play at that time, and I don't remember that there were any. If there were, they would have been grass. I just don't remember them.
I've heard that there were assemblies every morning and a lot of plays put on. Could you tell me about those?
Yes, well, the assemblies were not necessarily... the plays did not come on every morning, perhaps. On a Friday afternoon, we took turns one class at a time putting on a program, because this was something that the rural school teacher was going to be expected to do, was her Christmas concert, by all means, you know. So, therefore, you had to get into it and participate. So, Friday afternoons were our... we had a literary and dramatic club too, but we took our turn as with our class. We had to get into something. There was a lot of talent amongst the student teachers in that particular year. We did have, you know, some pretty good stuff.
What did your class put on?
Well, our class did it came our turn around 25th of January, so, which is Burns' birthday, so we put on a Scottish thing, and in our best accents. Maybe it was funny where it wasn't supposed to be, you know, but anyway, we had fun doing it, and the audience must have appreciated it because they laughed quite a lot too, but we're not sure that they were laughing in the right places. That was the type of thing that you just had to work with what you had, you know.
Were there costumes available, or were you expected to come up with anything extra?
We were left on, strictly on our own with costumes. We just borrowed or created or whatever you could do about costumes. We were pretty much on our own. I think perhaps when the Dramatic Club put on a small production, they did have costumes available, but for these Friday performances, we were pretty much on our own.
And what about your assemblies?
Well, I guess they were just pretty routine, you know. Maybe at that, we had F.T.C. Wickett was the music teacher at the time, and he had composed some music to the Lord's Prayer, which was a little different from what I've heard used anywhere else. And that was always part of the assembly, of course, and announcements. And it was pretty general sort of thing. You know. We had, somebody else came into the picture too. Dr. Clem Davies, who was with the, well, it was called City Temple at that time, but it was on North Park Street, and I think it's now Glad Tidings. He was a real evangelist type, but he was also considered a very good speaker. So he came, I don't remember what the series of lessons was that we received from him, to teach us how to speak correctly in public, you know. And he was a pretty harsh teacher. Nobody was really too happy about the whole thing, but maybe he hurt our feelings, and maybe he did accomplish something, but I do remember him quite well.
Did you have him as a class teacher on a regular basis?
No, this was the whole group taught together. But I don't suppose he listened to everyone even. We were allowed to criticize one another. That got a bit out of hand too, but I do remember that from assembly. We didn't have, I don't remember many outside people coming in to the group.
Can you tell me about some of your teachers that you had?
Yes. I remember Mr. Wickett particularly well because I can't sing. And he told me perhaps if I tried falsetto it might be better, but he said you also might be fortunate enough that you won't ever have to teach singing, which is about what it worked out to. But he was very kind, and Dr. Campbell now, but he was Mr. Campbell then, and he was a very he was the easiest one of all to speak to, I think. I think most of the students felt the same way about him. He had a friendly attitude that, well, he was, you know, he would help you out. And Mr. Freeman was another very, very kindly person. And
Mr. Freeman, what did he teach?
Freeman, goodness me. Language. You see, the subjects were different then, weren't they? And nature study was one of his, too, because he had some stuffed birds that we could borrow. And if you've ever tried on a wet morning to get onto a streetcar with all your books plus a stuffed owl or something, you know, but it was, you needed it for your lesson so you could have it. But he was a very kind person, too. And Miss Hinton was she was a good phys ed teacher, I'm sure, because she really worked us hard. And I know one a friend of mine faked a faint a couple of times just to get out of things. And I imagine, too, our gym costumes were a bit warm, you know, as we had these tunics with serge. With black lisle stockings and black sateen bloomers, And, you know, they weren't... The only good thing about those was you could wear them all day long the day of your phys ed class and save your other clothes. That was fine. They were all right in that respect. But that was the gym costume, you see. Dr. Southam was around for a while. I don't... Scanlon was the... taught in the model school with the senior students, and I don't know if I ever had... We didn't have much contact with them because they taught the students and spoke to us as a class or as a small group, but we really didn't have much contact otherwise.
You just mentioned Dr. Southam?
Yes.
What did he teach?
He was psychology.
What would you have expected to learn in that class?
Well, I don't remember that much about it, not except I did fairly well with it, but it was quite basic because we hadn't had anything of that before, you know. He was a quiet man, very... I think who else was here? Well, Sergeant Wallace taught the boys phys ed. He was Army Sergeant. I bet they had a rough time, too. And Mr. Goff, of course, was, I was saying Dr. Denton taught geography, and I don't think he did, because I think Mr. Goff did. So what Mr. Denton taught, I really... Well, he may still have. That may have been his big thing. I don't know. Miss James was primary teacher at the model school. And there they are.
What was your day like when you came in? Could you go through a typical day?
Oh, boy. You know, you're putting me back 40 years. More than that.
What time did you start?
I wouldn't be too sure about that either. I have a strange feeling it was around 8:30 because it was pretty pretty dark some mornings when we would arrive there. And I'm pretty sure it was 8:30. And if we were there for the day, not going out practice teaching, we just moved around from class to class very much as we would have been doing in high school or at Victoria College. There was the odd outing for nature study, say, which was a great temptation because Mr. Freeman had a bad habit of marking the roll when we set out, and some of them would disappear entirely until we got back, so we would go up Mount Tommy or over through that way, you see, and it was pretty hard to keep track of where everybody was. And I think there were, you know, and I think some other outings were open to something the same happening, because once you were out of sight, you know. But our days were pretty ordinary, I guess, really, for timetable.
How many classes do you think, can you remember, that you had in a day?
I imagine they were about 40, 45 minute periods, so how many would that give us? But, must have had six or so.
And you finished off around 3, or did you go?
3 or 3:30, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it wasn't a long day, but you were finished, but you weren't finished because you probably had things to put together for if you were practice teaching, or things that you had to do there because the material was available there and not at home. So you might be around till, and then there were interclass games, so you could be around there till 5, quite often.
There wouldn't be homework as we know homework.
Not really.
Just be preparing for classes.
Yes.
Giving.
There would be homework too, because we had to be tested on what we were being taught. So yes, we probably did. I can remember one quite large project we were assigned was a bird watching thing, to make a poster type thing illustrated by the with the birds you saw and where you saw them and when, and it was it took a long time to get together. There were wildflower projects that worked something the same way. You had to. This was hopefully the sort of thing you might be using with the children, you know. But they did take a lot of time. It was funny too, some of the ones who got inventive about ways to teach things that were not being used then were criticized for that. Those ways are being used now and this is fine and they work, but at that point it was this was something new.
You had to obey the rules.
Yes, yes, you didn't do it a certain way. You didn't, there was a certain way you set up your teaching and you stuck pretty closely to that, you know. And they didn't like you doing it differently, so it was better to be, not have too much initiative, you know. But, all teachers wouldn't be critical of that, but some were quite. Well, that again, I guess, goes back to the structure of our lessons. You, it's so long ago. You were taught to introduce the subject, you know, something new, possibly back it up from something they already knew. Try to get them interested. That might never happen, you know. And just carry on from there. They used, you see, there again, we didn't have the resources, materials. You know, you had to use the blackboard a lot. Use the blackboard an awful lot. You had to be able to draw out things and make them look like something. And or you had to, if you were inventive enough, you might introduce something with a story and get the interest. But it was, of course, reading was taught from phonics. Well, it is again now, as far as I can see. And it was, kind of a slow process. But I really, I don't know how we were taught to teach, really. I wouldn't like to say. Yes, you just, there were certain, there was a curriculum set out for each grade, for each year, and you had to cover that amount, you know. So you had to figure out how much time you had for that particular grade in one day or one week or whatever, and spread your material into that time, and you didn't always make it, because you, if you were in a, we were being taught to teach in a classroom with other grades in the same room, so you weren't going to have clear sailing with any one group, because there was always the supervision of the other groups and the unexpected happening. So you could combine some things, of course. Some things could be covered by two grades at one time.
Let me go back to the building again. In the auditorium, there were the beautiful stained glass windows, and there were the plaster busts of different poets.
Yes.
And at the very back, there was a carving. It was a Greek scene. It was a horseman. Yes. So I don't know if you remember anything about that. Do you happen to know where it came from?
No idea. You know, I think the younger you are, the more things you take for granted. Probably going in there now and seeing that, we would wonder. But at that point, well, that's just the way it was, so you didn't question it. So I really don't know anything about the background for that. Not a thing. And it's too bad, because it's something you may never turn up, eh?
You had an art instructor. Do you remember who it was?
No. I don't remember. It was John Goff, as far as I think, basically. I don't think there was anyone. So you see, most of the instructors covered more than one subject, but I'm pretty sure it was John Goff.
But you were taught in that subject. Hmm? What were you taught?
Well, I think we were rather much on our own there too. Art in the schools at that point was quite structured. You know, it wasn't. How can I explain it? You might have spent a lot of time in a classroom, and I know they did, doing what you would call a design or a border that fitted into a border or a square or a circle or a rectangle. It was all balanced out beautifully, and the colors were all, you know, toned in beautifully too. And that was the art that was taught. But then we had to use a lot of art on our own just to illustrate lessons and so forth. But we weren't taught that. We were pretty much on our own with that. There was no, if you had the gift of art, you were very fortunate. If you didn't, well, you drew stick men, you know.
There was a reunion a while back, a year and a half ago.
Yes, in July, about a year and a half ago. It was very successful. It was really very interesting to see somebody 40-odd years later, and some people were so easily recognizable, and some people were so different.
When you were at the normal school, you became very close, didn't you? You made
yes.
a lot of long-lasting friendships.
We did, and yet in a limited way, and I guess it was because of the way we were divided into classes, because turned out at the reunion that there were some people who just didn't remember other people, even from their normal school days. And I think we were quite busy, and we didn't have much time for each other outside of the school. And so, and when we went practice teaching, even we were still classed alphabetically. So you just didn't get out of that ABC area. But those of us who made friends with the people in our letter group, yes, we have remained friends, you know. But we lost touch with some. There were some at normal school when I was, who had been in elementary school with me, two in particular. One, because her surname began with a B, we kept in touch with each other. We were always quite often together. The other one, whose surname started with a T, I didn't know much about what she was doing all that year, except when it came to perhaps an assembly where she might be taking part or so forth. But the division did tend to separate us. But we were very dependent on each other, too, for help at times. You know, someone who could, who was good at artwork might help someone else to get things together in that line. Somebody who was more mathematically inclined might be able to organize somebody else's timetable. And it worked out that way.
I've noticed that there have been a lot of marriages of normal school students. They would may have gone in the same year, or, you know, a couple of years apart.
Yes, there was a couple in our year who married, and some of us didn't know they had married, so when we're putting out our questionnaire to those whose names and addresses we had asked, you know, does anyone know where May Corkle is now, you see? And so back came this reply from one gentleman. He says, yes, I know where she is. I've been sleeping with her for 35 years. You know, that was one of them. they hadn't been together that much in normal school. I think they had ended up in the same area when they were teaching. Another one was a romance in normal school and did end in marriage, yes. But we didn't see that much of the man either, except at the dances or, you know. It seemed to me, too, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so, in our normal school year, the men were a bit older, because at that time, it wasn't that easy for a woman to get a job to earn extra money to pay her fees, but the men might. And there were quite a few in the group of men who were older than we were. For that reason, they'd been out working and come back into normal school.
What was the average age of the girls?
Oh, I think it was 18. You had to be 18 to be accepted. And I would say mostly. I think there were perhaps two who already had their BA, so they would naturally be, say, 21, 22, but the rest of us were 18-year-olds. And quite young 18-year-olds, too, at that time.
Did everyone live fairly close to the normal school, or was there a long distance to travel?
No, I guess we didn't all live very close. I lived over on Avebury, which is runs between Haltane and Ryan Street, and so that was a fair distance. I know there were people from the Fairfield district, and there were people from way out in Saanich, which wasn't that, it's not that far from the normal school now, but Gordon Head, there was no, I don't know what bus service there was out to there at that time, but it seemed way out. So I suppose we all had fair distances to come, yes.
And everyone had to use the bus?
Mm-hmm. Streetcar, too.
And streetcar.
There was a streetcar.
Was that the streetcar that came right up?
Right out, became, yes, it came up to where that small store is there. Mm-hmm. That was a Mount Tommy. The bus, the closest it came was down to perhaps Shelburne and Lansdowne. I'm not quite sure what was the terminus there. That was an airfield at that time, down where Lansdowne School is. And all this was mostly fields. Perhaps one end of this street had houses. I don't recollect that too well. It's funny. I had a friend visiting, the friend I had been friendly with all through normal school, and we'd had lunch down at Sears, and we were walking back up here up North Derry, and there's a big rock at the end there, you know. Oh, she says, there's our rock. And we used to take our lunch out there quite often, you know. And she was so surprised because she just hadn't thought of its location in relation to anything else, you know. But,
was there a cafeteria or a lunchroom when you were up there?
No, there was no cafeteria. And, you know, I don't remember that there was even really a lunchroom. We just, I don't know where we always ate. I remember very often eating our lunches outdoors. I think we just ate them in our classroom in which we registered otherwise.
Where was your classroom?
The classroom that I was in was, you go in the, let me see, not the the end door here, it would be the
west door.
Yes, it would be the second room from there. Mr. Freeman had an office. He was the teacher with whom we registered, and his office was sort of adjoined it somehow. But you see, the building was used again during World War II, and I think they knocked out walls and changed a few things then, too, so it would, you know, change things there. But we were still sort of happily busy, you know. Yeah. There was lots of variety to what we were doing. It was never, things never got dull. You always had something to get on with, you know. And we certainly, some of us got together after our reunion here at Muriel Gale's home, and she was saying afterwards, she said she would never have believed that after all those years we could still get together and visit for about 3 hours with never running out of something to talk about. But it was other people's experiences in the teaching area too. Mind you, everybody didn't go into teaching. We were quite surprised at the reunion that people had gone into other occupations. Mainly, I suppose, some of the men who, after World War II, had grants they could use to further their education and possibly use them. This one friend whose home we were at, her husband had been a teacher and he is now a doctor. And some people, one man, I think in Chicago, he got into the furniture business and stayed in it. And another went into agriculture. So it is quite interesting. And I was looking this morning at the thing, at the message in the front of this, about from Captain Sinclair, suggesting that you bide your time, wait wisely. If you have to wait, qualify for the public health nursing or the diploma of public health degree. I don't think anybody did, you know. Hi.
Hello.
There's always been stories about the Young building, about tunnels underneath and things like this. I was wondering if there were any stories about the building when you were up there.
Don't remember any at all. I really don't. Tunnels underneath.
There is one tunnel, and it is for the water pipes and things like this.
Oh, yes,
some
access.
People's imaginations just ran away with them.
Yes, yes, I can imagine. No, I just don't remember any stories about the buildings at all. That's interesting. Funny.
Do you remember what your graduating class gave as a gift to the school?
Oh boy. I don't know if we did. We must have, though, mustn't we?
There's a bird bath out there. It's got the class of 35 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some
benches
and things like that. I was just wondering if you happen to remember what your class had given, if anything.
No, I don't. And I don't think it would be in here. I wonder if it would. I just don't remember anything at all about that. Something in here. There's a little bit about the garden, but that doesn't bring in anything.
Was there a student's council?
No.